There was money to be made out of the railroad. Among the many who knew that basic fact were Doc Turant and his fellow stockholders in the Crédit Mobilier. Dodge might want to build a first-class railroad, one that would last. Durant was for that in his own way, but meanwhile, he wanted to make money, not from any dividends that the UP might pay from profits earned down the line, but from the construction phase. No one could accuse Doc of thinking small. Indeed, he was thinking of much more than money. Durant wanted what such contemporaries as John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie and Cornelius Vanderbilt had, or something like what Collis Huntington or Leland Stanford would have. Doc wanted, above all else, to be remembered as the man who built the Union Pacific Railroad. Doc's competition for that title was Grenville Dodge. Yet even if Doc couldn't compete with Dodge on the ground, he could send in the interfering engineer, Silas Seymour, to fight for him. From the beginning, that had been Seymour's role, to work for Durant by second-guessing Dodge. From Omaha westward, Seymour had questioned Dodge's route and often tried to change it, primarily to add more miles, so that the UP would collect more government bonds and land grants. Seymour had told Durant that Dodge's line from Green River to the Salt Lake was all wrong, that he had laid out a new one, and it was much better and longer. This, and other disputes between the vice president and the chief engineer, came to a head. On July 26, the Republican nominee for the presidency, General Ulysses S. Grant, along with Generals Sherman and Sheridan and others, including Durant, was going to be in Fort Sanders. Dodge took Grant, Sherman, Sheridan, and the other generals to the end of track, then at Benton, 124 miles beyond Fort Sanders and Laramie. At one point, Dodge declared that he was ready to quit his job if Durant, Seymour, or anyone else changed his final location. The men rode the train back to Fort Sanders. July 26 was a baking hot day. At the officers' club at the fort, a big log bungalow, the generals met with Durant and Seymour. Durant took the floor. He was bold enough to attack Dodge, telling Grant and the others that Dodge had selected extravagant routes, wasted precious time and money on useless surveys, ignored the sound judgment of Silas Seymour, was about to bypass Salt Lake City, had neglected his congressional duties, and more. Grant turned to Dodge. "What will you do about it?" he asked. "Just this," Dodge answered. "If Durant or anybody connected with the Union Pacific or anybody connected with the government changes my lines, I'll quit the road." There was a tense but momentary hush. Then Grant spoke. "The government expects this railroad to be finished," he declared, speaking as if his election was assured. Then he turned to Dodge. "The government expects you to remain with the road as its chief engineer until it is completed," he said. Doc Durant took it all in. He pulled at his goatee, then managed to mumble, "I withdraw my objections. Of course, we all want Dodge to stay with the road." On August 8, Dodge wrote Ames, president of the UP, that Seymour was still in command on the line while Durant controlled company headquarters in New York. He charged that Durant's orders were to skin and skip everything for the purpose of getting track down, and your temporary bridges will now hardly stand to get trains over them. Meanwhile, Seymour was trying to ruin the finest location that was ever made with his excessive grades and curvature. And he warned, "Somebody will have to answer for the swindle. I doubt whether a mile of road will be accepted with such a location."